Probably we do not need any introduction for our speaker, Elder Mike Lee. I'm so grateful for his preparation for God's Word for us this morning. Today's message, Jesus' healing of a leprous man, is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. These five verses describe the Lord's dealing of a man suffering from advanced leprosy. Let me share with you about leprosy. Leprosy is nowadays a rare but still a dreaded disease, which causes much physical disfigurement and sorrow for the sufferer as well as to those nearest and dearest. In ancient times, it was a loathsome and incurable disease. In Australia and developed countries, leprosy is rare, also known as Hansen's disease, named after the person who diagnosed its cause, or Hansenitis, or just simply HD. It is still common in certain parts of tropical and subtropical countries in Africa, Asia, Central and South America, the Pacific Ocean, and surprisingly, in certain parts of the United States. Leprosy is caused by a germ, Mycobacterium leprae, or Mycobacterium lepromatosis, and is characterized by a chronic infection of the skin and superficial nerves. It may progress to blindness, paralysis, and problems with bodily functions, but it does not affect the central nervous system. In Australia, leprosy is caused mainly by Mycobacterium leprae. Since the early 1980s, the disease is now curable with the use of multi-drug therapy. The leprosy organism proliferates very slowly. The disease incubation period varies from 9 months to 30 years. On average, this disease starts to appear 4 years after exposure, often with the appearance of pale or pink patches of skin that may be insensitive to pain or temperature, and accompanied or preceded by numbness and tenderness in the hands or feet. Leprosy was often thought to cause flesh to rot. Complications with secondary infections often occur, and this may lead to a loss of tissues, hence the loss of fingers, toes, nose and ears, and other parts of the body. A leprosy expert, the late Dr. Paul Brandt and his colleagues, found that the disfigurement comes solely because the body's warning system had been damaged. Limbs of leprosy patients are damaged because they cannot feel pain, and they sometimes and rarely these days have their limbs amputated. The destruction that comes about is from incidents such as reaching out into a charcoal fire to retrieve dropped food, or washing face with hot water, or gripping tools too tightly and too long, causing tissue damage. In third world countries, vermin like rats, mice, and insects occasionally chew on sleeping lepers without them being aware of it. So sometimes lepers woke up in the morning, they found the nose missing. Dr. Brain would discharge a leprous patient home after corrective surgery with a cat to ward off this pest. Dr. Brandt called leprosy a painless hell. Surprisingly, leprosy is not very infectious. The exact mechanism of how leprosy spread is unknown. The main route is believed to be person-to-person spread by nasal droplets. The overwhelming majority of people who are exposed to leprosy do not develop the disease. People at risk are generally those in close and frequent contact with leprosy patients or living in countries where the disease is more common. From the website of Health NSW, healthnsw.gov.au, I'm quoting, "Leprosy is one of the least infectious diseases because over 99% of the population has adequate natural immunity. That means most of us are immune. Over 85% of the clinical cases are non-infectious, and an infectious case is rendered non-infectious within 1 week, most often after the very first dose of treatment," unquote. In biblical times, leprosy was common. The word leprosy is mentioned at least 39 times in the Bible. The main reason leprosy is mentioned so much in the Bible is because of the terrible destruction it caused to the sufferer's physical and emotional well-being, life, family relationships, employment prospect, and social status in the community. With no known cure, leprosy was compared to the devastating and debilitating power of sin in a person's life in biblical times, and even for us today. Unless there was God's intervention, such as in the cases of Moses, Miriam, Naaman, Gehazi, Joab, and Uzziah in the Old Testament, healing from leprosy was unheard of. In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus performed miraculous healing on lepers. One such healing is described in today's text, which describes the first remarkable account of the healing of the man with leprosy. For this message, I would like to consider four main points. Firstly, the leper appealing for the Lord's healing touch in verse 12. Secondly, the leper's experiencing the Lord's healing touch in verse 13. And thirdly, the leper confirming the Lord's healing touch in verse 14. And finally, the lessons that we learned from this. Let us begin with the first main point, the leper appealing for the Lord's healing touch in verse 12. Let us read together Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Let us read. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Amen. The Lord Jesus came to a certain city. Luke did not identify this city. Since the Lord was in Galilee, this city was most likely in this province or very near to Capernaum. According to some biblical scholars, it could be a city called Hattam, not far from Capernaum, or it could be Capernaum itself. It was not named possibly to hide the identity of the leper. While in that certain city, behold, a leprous man came to appeal to the Lord. Behold, a surprise. A leprous man came. There were probably many people accompanying the Lord that day. Lepers were not permitted to come near people, but somehow this man managed to avoid detection. Described as a man full of leprosy, that means he had advanced leprosy. He probably had an ear or a finger or a toe or some flesh missing from his body. With rotting, putrid flesh in his body, he would be terribly disfigured. People would turn away and kept their distance from him, covering their noses and mouths. How were lepers treated in Israel in those days? This leprous man was actually treated as an outcast. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 to 46. "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be." Amen. the sufferer would wear shabby, torn clothing with an unkempt appearance, the hair of his head uncovered, his moustache covered, and for the sake of the ritual purity of the community, he had to call out, "Unclean, unclean," when people were nearby. He would remain ceremonially unclean as long as he had the disease. He would have to live alone outside the camp or city. This leprous man must have suffered much humiliation and feelings of worthlessness. Having to wear torn and shabby clothing, to shout and announce his presence in any public place, and isolated from the rest of the community. In those days, leprosy was thought to be highly contagious. Despised and isolated by the community and confined to his own community of lepers, he was unable to earn an income and hence unable to support himself. In many cases, his family would have to leave food in isolated places. He and other lepers were essentially beggars, the outcasts of society, and forced to live in groups with fellow sufferers. This desperate leper came to the Lord appealing for his healing touch. From Leviticus chapter 13, we learn that there were restrictions placed on lepers, but in the Lord's time, this became worse with rabbinic teaching. For example, it was illegal to greet a leper. The house declared unclean if a leper just stuck his head inside. Lepers had to keep their distance of about 100 cubits, that's 50 meters, if they were upwind, or 4 cubits or 2 meters if they were downwind. Dr. Brand said that lepers were suffering from painless hell. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, said that the lepers were treated, quoting, as if they were, in effect, dead men, unquote. Literally, the walking dead. To the rabbis, I'm quoting from I.H. Marshall of the Gospel of Luke, quoting, "The cure of a leper was as difficult as raising a person from the dead," unquote. That means curing of leprosy was impossible. Lepers were treated as scums or rejects of the earth. That is why the leper is used as a symbol of sin. In the old days, it was thought that those with leprosy had contracted the disease because of some great personal sin. This erroneous connection was assumed because there were people such as Miriam, Gehazi, and Uzziah who had been judged with leprosy. Actually, the leper was not more sinful than any non-leprous individual, and not worse or guiltier than his or her fellow Jews. However, the predicament of the leper provides a good illustration of the destructive power and effects and influence of sin. R.C. Trench, a Greek scholar, stated that the leper was a parable of sin, quoting, "an outward and visible sign of innermost spiritual corruption." Without the Lord Jesus Christ's cleansing work, the leper would be a physical illustration of ourselves. R. Ken Hughes says, I'm quoting, "sin has invaded all our faculties. Sin's leprosy runs from the soles of our feet to the crown of our heads, so that we are wholly unclean," as in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. "This is the state in which we were born and in which we naturally live," unquote. Ephesians chapter 1, the second part of verse 1, reveals that without Christ Jesus, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Without Christ, we are lepers. J.C. Ryle, the Anglican Archbishop of the 19th century, said these words, I'm quote, "Sin is the deadly leprosy which we are all affected. It has eaten into our vitals. It has infected all our faculties, heart, conscience, mind, and all, and will. All are diseased by sin. Such is the state in which we are all born. Such is the state in which we all naturally live. We are in one sense dead, long before we were laid in the grave. Our bodies may be healthy and active, but our souls are by nature dead in trespasses and sins. Unquote. We were lepers, the walking dead, before the Holy Spirit quickened us. Let us read Luke chapter 5, verse 12 again. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amen. This leprous man walked quietly and steadily toward the Lord, undetected by the crowd. He probably had cried, unclean and unclean, but no one could hear him. With leprosy affecting his vocal cords, his voice was initially feeble. As the cries grew louder, the people stopped and saw him and quickly moved away from him because they feared contamination and of the smell of decaying flesh. Some screamed curses and abuses on him, asking him to go away, and many covered their noses from the stench of decay. But he moved on until he stood near the Lord. Finally, he came to face the Lord and appealed to him for help, for his healing touch. On seeing Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, as in verse 12. The words spoken by the leper, remember, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, are exactly the same in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, and Mark chapter 1, verse 40. The words are exactly the same. In Luke, the leper on seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him. Matthew says that the leper worshipped him in Matthew chapter 1, verse 2, and Mark says, this leper came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. All three Gospels indicated that this leper knelt in front of the Lord, worshipped and begged him to cure him. The leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The appeal was to the Lord's healing touch to make him clean. He did not ask, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst heal me. The effect of this advanced leprosy on him was such that he did not say, thou canst heal me, but thou canst make me clean. What is the significance? Quoting from R. Ken Hughes, quoting, here we see the first and fundamental qualification for coming to Jesus, an awareness of one's condition, unquote. The leprous man was aware of his sinful state. This leper did not say he was unclean. He knew he was unclean. He knew he was hopeless and he could do nothing about it. Most likely everyone had given up on him. It was possible his own family had stopped praying for him. He believed that there was nothing in him worthy to God. His awful condition was characterized by the blessed spiritual awareness in the Beatitude. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Therefore, at that stage, the leper was in a perfect position to receive grace. What about us? God will not come to those who are or think they are self-sufficient. Those who think they have no need or help, and those who think they can make do on their own. As in the Beatitudes, God will come to the poor or empty in spirit, and those who mourn over their hopelessness, just like the leper. We are to come to God crying, unclean, unclean. That is 100% unclean, not 25% unclean, but 100% unclean. We have to come to the Lord in full acknowledgement of our depravity and sinful nature. The leper was aware of his sin. This awareness led him to submit to the Lord and to appeal to him for cleansing. When the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke are harmonized or united, we can see that this leper humbly knelt down, prostrated himself, and worshipped Christ Jesus. It was genuine submission and worship with his whole mind, body, and soul. This leper knew that only the Lord was his hope, who could heal and restore him to his family and society. For us, we must always remember that the Lord's healing comes about when we bow before him in humility, in reverence, and in recognition that he, the Lord Jesus, is our only hope. The leper's body language also revealed his faith on the Lord. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, the second part. Who, that's the leper, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This leper had faith. Consider what the leper said to the Lord. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1, verse 40, the Greek words, the tense employed in the parallel passage, indicates that he repeated these words several times. Prostrated before the Lord, he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He said these words repeatedly. As the Lord was popular in Galilee, this leper must be aware of the Lord Jesus' authority and power in preaching and in teaching and in performing miracles. He must have concluded that this Jesus could heal him. More importantly, the leper said, thou canst make me clean. He was realistic. He probably said in his heart, if he can do it for others, he can do it for me. He had amazing faith. Sin is like leprosy. It affects us in either of two ways. Sin makes us believe we are not sinners and there is nothing wrong with us. Or sin makes us believe that we are sinners, but we are so bad that nothing can be done for us. We are beyond help. By believing in the Lord, we are made to realize of our sinful nature and that we are not beyond help. All of us, every one of us, have offended God. None of us is beyond God's love and Christ's redemption. Remember that. None of us. The leper knew of his hopelessness, incurable leprosy, and yet he believed that the Lord would heal him. With this faith in the Lord, he appealed to the Lord's healing touch. So he worshipped the Lord, just Jesus, before many witnesses. Next, the leper experienced the Lord's healing touch. Let us read verse 13 together. And he put forth his hand, and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Amen. With the leper prostrated, the Lord looked on him intensely. No one had looked on him in this manner for a very long time. Not even his own family and relatives. His friends had left him. the Lord, in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, was moved with compassion. The Lord was so touched by the leper's appeal. He showed sympathy and empathy to him. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched him. The Lord gave the leper the divine touch. What an unforgettable touch. When was the last time someone touched him? If he had been married, when was the last time his wife and children touched him? If he had living parents, when was the last time his parents touched and hugged him? This leper had longed for someone to touch him for years. No one dared. The Lord dared. The Lord touched him. Both the Lord and the leper were filled with emotions. The crowd and his disciples must be shocked by what they witnessed. Touching an unclean man, that was a no-no. The Lord was now ceremonially unclean. The leper had never felt loved for a long time. Someone at last showed him love and care. That touch meant a lot. It meant that the Lord said to him, "I understand your situation. I am with you. I love you. I will heal you." That touch of the Lord had a theological meaning. Quoting from R. Ken Hughes, "The touch of Christ's pure hand on the rotting leper is a parable of the incarnation and the cross. Jesus took on flesh, became sin for us, and gave us his purity." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus laid hold of our flesh. He touched us and healed us. As we see Jesus bent over the prostrate sufferer, his holy hand resting on the decaying flesh of the foul-smelling leper, we see what he did for us. Unquote. Then the healing happened. The leper experienced the Lord's healing touch. When the Lord said, "I will, be thou clean," Luke recorded this, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. The healing was instantaneous and complete. Any missing skin appendages, such as ear, nose, fingers, and toes, were restored. Any wounds and ulcers covered with new tissues. The terrible rotting smells disappeared. He was restored into a normal, healthy man with no trace of leprosy. The miracle must be an incredible sight. This must have surprised the man, but also the crowd and his own disciples. They had never heard of a leprous man being cured without God's intervention. There was probably a momentary silence, followed by voices of shock, admiration, and joyous shouts when his family dawned on them. This instant transformation of an individual is what the Lord Jesus can still do today. For a sinner, Christ's healing in salvation from sin is instantaneous and complete. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We come now to the next point, the leper confirming the Lord's healing touch in verse 14. Let us read together Luke chapter 5, verse 14. "And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them." After the man was healed, he could not just praise and thank the Lord for healing and walk home to his family and join society. Not that the Lord charged him. Firstly, to tell no man. Secondly, but go and show thyself to the priest. And thirdly, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for testimony unto them. He had the healed leper had to confirm the Lord's healing touch with the relevant authority. He had to see the priest. We can understand the second and the third instructions. These were commanded by Moses to confirm the healing of leprosy. Why did the Lord charge the man to tell no one? Why? There are a few reasons. Firstly, there was a possibility that the priests, being enemies of the Lord, would refuse to accept the man if they heard that the Lord Jesus had performed the healing. Secondly, the healed man in his excitement could forget to obey the requirements of the law with regards to the cleansing ceremony commanded by Moses. Thirdly, and more importantly, quoting from R. Ken Hughes, quoting, "This miracle was a massive weakness to the leadership of Israel that the Messianic age had come. The Jews expected the ravages of sin to be removed in the time of Messianic salvation. Indeed, Jesus would allude to this letter in his message to John the Baptist about who he was, in Luke chapter 7, verse 22. By the Lord's miraculous healing, it reveals his authority over the ravages of sin, and this should actually alert the Jewish religious authority. The healed man must now go to the priest to have his cure confirmed in order that he could rejoin the community as a normal citizen. What must this healed and healthy man do? In Leviticus chapter 14, which we read for responsive reading, God gave clear instructions on the cleansing of the healed leper and how he must be certified to be cured and clean by an elaborate but remarkably step-by-step joyful ceremony that lasted 8 full days. Quoting from R. Ken Hughes again, quoting, "Consider the 8 days of ritual verification and celebration that followed. The inspection, the cedar and scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, the blood-dipped bird winging heavenward, the sprinklings, the guilt offering, the 3 great sacrifices, the anointings of the healed leper's ear, hand and foot, his whole life, the final atoning offerings. What a witness of grace to the religious establishment. 8 joyous days right in front of their eyes." Unquote. For believers in the Lord Jesus, the Old Testament's description of this ancient ceremony and rituals elicits incredible joy because the Word of God speaks of and points to the Lord Himself, as in John chapter 5, verse 39. And in fact, this elaborate ritual precisely speaks of the atonement through Christ and His power to deliver. The Lord Jesus did a great miracle. He healed a man with advanced leprosy. The Lord can do greater than this. He can heal leprosy of the soul. He does that by forgiveness of sin and transforms the sinner into a new creation. What other lessons can we learn from this account of the healing of the man with leprosy? The final point is other lessons learned. There are valuable lessons to be learned. Firstly, we must have a deep awareness of our own leprosy, that is, awareness of our own sin. Do we realize that we are imperfect and that we are sinners? Do we mourn our sins? Do we accept that we are unworthy and that we have nothing to commend ourselves to God? If we realize and accept that, we are ready to come to the Lord Jesus to seek His healing touch. We need His healing touch. Without that touch, we are destined to hell. Secondly, we must come and bow before Him with humble reverence. That means submitting to Him. God is our only hope. And if He does not save us, we will be lost. Here, have we humbly and reverently submitted to Him? Have we put Him first and allow Him to take control of our lives? Thirdly, we learn that the Lord Jesus has authority and power over physical, emotional, and spiritual diseases. Only God can have such authority and power. If the Lord Jesus can have such authority and power, then He is more than a good man, more than a wise teacher, and more than a great prophet. He is the Son of God and God Himself, who has the keys of heaven, as in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, and the keys of hell and death in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Finally, we must believe in Him and that only He can make us clean. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who, referring to Jesus Christ, who in His own self bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. The Lord Jesus went to the cross, shed His blood for the remission of our sin, and died for us. This is done so that we can live unto righteousness. How do we come to the Lord? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That is all you have to do. That is all that we have to do. Let the Lord remove that leprosy from your soul, from my soul, by confessing with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A man with advanced leprosy approached the Lord. Isolated from family, relatives, and friends, deprived of an opportunity to earn a living, shunned and humiliated by his own community, and forced to live with fellow lepers, he came to Christ Jesus, asking not for healing, but asked to be made clean. This leper desperately desired the Lord's healing touch. He received that divine touch. That touch was confirmed, and he was healed of this dreadful disease. Then the Lord asked him to seek clearance from the priest so that he could return to his family and join his community. Leprosy was a common incurable disease in biblical times. Leprosy is mentioned many times in the Bible because of the terrible destruction it caused to the sufferer's well-being, life, family relationships, employment prospect, and social status in the community. As there was no non-cure, leprosy was compared to the devastating and debilitating or influence of power of sin in a person's life in biblical times and even for us today. Leprosy defiles the flesh. Sin, just like leprosy, defiles us before God. If we do not get rid of it, we will go down in a spiral to destruction and hell. God hates sin. Sin isolates us from the presence of God because God will not allow sinful man in His sight and before His presence, as in Psalm 5, verse 5, Habakkuk 1, verse 13, and Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. All sin is repugnant to God. However, all those who have been redeemed from sin by grace through faith in Christ Jesus can now stand in God's presence in full confidence that we are accepted in the Beloved. For this wonderful gift, we can praise and bless God for this grace He extends to us for that purpose. I urge all of you to purge this leprosy from your bodies by confessing and repenting of your sins, putting your faith on the Lord Jesus before destruction comes upon you. May God bless you all. Amen. Let us pray. We thank Thee for this account of the healing of this man with advanced leprosy. Let us not forget that we were once lepers before Christ Jesus quickened us. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His redemptive intercessory work for us. For without Him, we would still be lepers, destined for hell. Now that we are healed of our leprosy through our faith in our Lord Jesus, help us to live righteous lives and be a good testimony to you and others. And help us, Lord, be doers of thy word rather than just hearers only and deceiving ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.